拜。
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is 24 Hours of Student Power. It's 2 p.m., which means we're 16 hours-ish, if we did our math right, into the 24 hours. And we are here with the Visual Arts Student Association. So if you guys just want to go around and introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm James.
And I'm Claire. I'm the secretary of VASA. James, who are you?
Oh, I'm the president.
He's just James. We also have Sunny in the studio with us, and we have Isaiah on the boards. Thank you. I'm Lexis. I'm the new media executive at CITR. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about VASA, what they do, a little bit about visual arts. We have already had like two very extensive conversations about these questions that we're going to talk about today. So, yeah. I know that we're going to have a lot to say. So I guess just to start off, if you guys can talk a little bit about what visual arts is and what you guys do in VASA.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, I guess visual arts is a program here at UBC. And yeah, like we just study contemporary art and we make contemporary art. A lot of our classes are studio-based and yeah, like... Like, I feel like there's more things to unpack, but...
Yeah, like, visual arts as a program encompasses a lot. It's not just like doing and making art, it's also like learning all about art theory and how to incorporate ideas into your art practice in like an interesting way that's not just like didactic, which can be really difficult.
Like I guess it's a more research-based approach to art making. Like a lot of the times our professors, they want to see like our research notes or like a sketchbook. A lot of the classes you actually get marked off of like your sketchbook itself. And I think they just want to see the development of like an idea and like the process that you're going through. So there's a large like focus on the process itself.
So what do you guys do as VASA and as the president? Like what are like some plans for visual arts students this year, I guess?
Well, as VASA, our main function as a student association is to actually bring the students of the program together. Like, I find that a lot of the times visual arts students can be very quiet and kind of like in their own world. Like, I guess just the nature of like artists, we all love to be so emotional and like think about ourselves a lot. And it's so much better when you can be emotional about yourself together with other people, you know? Like,
Yeah, something we like talked about a lot when at the start of this year in VASA is like how even though visual arts at UBC is like a pretty small program, we like don't know each other. Like there's so many of us who
so
like
weird.
And like we're like in the same classes with lots of people repeatedly, but we still like there's still like a lack of a real sense of community. And I think that VASA has like I feel like we're like moving towards we just like want to create a community for visual arts.
Do you guys know
students.
Ish like how many people are in each year?
I think there's around 30 people in every year. So the entire undergraduate program is probably, what, like 100 students maybe?
Wow,
I don't
that's
know.
Pretty small.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's pretty small. Yeah. The point is that it's pretty small and it's not that hard to try to know like 30 people in your year. At least like by face, you know? And yeah, I just feel like there's a lot of disconnect between the students and the program, which I think is very strange because the nature of visual art is just so socially based. Like, it's all about the networks that you're a part of and the actual networking that you do. Like, our professors always say that the people that we work with are going to be, like, the people that we work with in the future. Like, the people now are, like, our connections in the future. So I just want to try to focus on, like, actually doing more social events, I guess, just to, like, also make visual art a more inclusive space.
Right.
Because I feel like another misconception, or not misconception, but, like, stereotype is that art can be very, like, what is the word I'm looking for? Like non-inclusive and very like
exclusive.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Anti-inclusive.
Like the opposite of inclusive. But yeah, I just want to like reach out to other student associations and like other organizations on campus and try to like show everyone that we're all artists. You know, like we all want to live with art in our life, and that's a connection that I think a lot of people here at UBC have.
So I guess I didn't introduce this at the beginning of the show. One thing that we're going to be doing during this hour is we're going to play a bit of sound art. Do you guys want to describe a little bit what sound art is just in general?
Oh, okay. Sound art is very broad. Like there's a lot of things that sound art can be.
Yeah, it's basically just art that uses sound as its medium. So that can take like so many different forms. And a lot. We're playing four different pieces during the show today, and they all like do take quite different forms. So hopefully, it'll give you like a little taste of what visual art students at UBC in particular are doing with sound art.
Yeah, it's funny because like our program's called visual art, but the more I study visual art, the more I realize that not all art is visual. Like a lot of it is experiential. And in the case of sound art, it's about, like...
an auditory experience.
Yeah, it's about an auditory experience. So honestly, I feel like I can't even explain what sound art is. It's one of those things that you kind of just have to listen to. So we will be playing like a wide variety of sound pieces.
So I guess we can introduce our first piece of sound art. So we have a little blurb.
Awesome. Okay. So our first piece of sound art is by a student in our program named Galen Allen. And he sent me a little blurb explaining what the piece is about. So first of all, it's called Contingency. And about it, he said, "Having moved away from mainstream ideas of music and sound, this was my first leap into the world of experimental sound design. I attempted to overlap cascading sentiments with repetitive chords so as to mimic the day-to-day emotional and social polyrhythms I seemed to encounter. Different moods rising and falling encounter and are relieved by routines that can soothe or frustrate. Sharper punctual stabs remind me of my priorities, but the low, bubbling fluctuations keep me grounded amongst the swirling and sometimes disoriented cacophony of my waking hours." So we can play the piece now.
Awesome. So this is Contingency by Galen Allen.
Thank you.
So that was Contingency by Galen Allen. So that was our first piece of sound art, my first experience with sound art ever.
Yeah, thanks, Galen.
Yeah, and thank you to everybody who submitted sound art. We're very glad. It's like a very, I guess, unique experience for people who just usually listen to like talk or music radio, I guess. Yeah, so we're going to keep on going with a couple of questions. We were beginning to touch on this before we played the sound art, but we're going to talk a little bit about what it's like studying fine arts at an institution like UBC.
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like that's a very big subject. Like, I find that a lot of students have problems with it because it's funny that I guess more personally, like, I'm always quite critical of institutions, like, in general. So it's funny to, like, be making art criticizing the institution, but, like, you're within the institution itself. So there's this weird, like, it's kind of, like, paradoxical, but also, like, it can be seen as, what is the word I'm looking for?
Like, it's almost hypocritical.
Yeah, it's almost hypocritical, but I think that the most important part within it is being self-aware that you are within an institution. So a lot of the times, I just make institutional critique art, which kind of interacts with the space that you're in. And a lot of the times, that's a classroom. So it's art about being in a classroom.
Yeah, it can be, like, really challenging to deal with that sort of difficulty, but I do also think it, like, reflects the art world as a whole because it is, like, very institutionalized, and, like, galleries and museums are also, like, institutions that artists generally work within. And, like, yeah, it's definitely a problem in art as a whole, like, this sort of hypocrisy of, like, being people who critique institutions while supporting them and being supported by them.
Yeah, like the codependency of the institution. It's a kind of, like, I don't really know, like, where we lie in it all, but it would be ignorant to say that we don't lie somewhere.
One thing we were talking about yesterday when this question came up is, like, certain things with, like, being in a big institution like UBC. So I had this story where in one of my classes recently, it was a performance art class, and one of the students for her performance had put up some paintings in the hallway of the Fine Arts building, like the O'Dayne Art Center. And in the middle of the class, like, the facilities person came and told her she had to take them down because she hadn't gotten permission to put them there. And the tape would, like, mess up the paint on the wall. And so he took them down, and then she, like, threw them in the trash to sort of, like, critique that sort of action. But then in class later, we were talking about how, like, the staff person who told her she had to take her things down is really not the person responsible for, like, the institutional bureaucracy involved at, like, UBC, and, like, being in an art program that is, like, such a big institution, and visual art, like, isn't UBC's priority, really. It is a small program, as we were saying. So it is, like, difficult being in that sort of situation where, like, you don't really have access to the people who, like, can actually, like, change these things. And especially, like, a lot of visual art departments, like Emily Carr as well, the profs are, like, all sessional faculty, so there's, like, a lot of issues there as well with, like, they don't have a lot of power within the institution, and they're not treated very well by the institution, but they are, like, the staff members that you as a student have the most access to, so it's, like...
Yeah, there's definitely, like, a disconnect because of, like, what we want as artists, but also just what's realistic as being a student. So it's... it's just weird juggling, I guess, of being an artist, but also being a student, and then being a student artist, you know?
And, like, I mean, like, obviously, like, as students, we tend to, like, have a desire to, like, get good grades and to, like, please the people who are teaching us. And, like, but then, like, there's this simultaneous, like, push to be, like, oh, like, I need to, like, do my own work and, like, mm-hmm. do what I feel is, like, best for my own practice. But, like, sometimes, mm-hmm. I don't know, it's you can't really sort out, like, how that's different from what the institution wants from you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, because, like, within all of our own practices, I feel like something that just happens while we get into the higher level courses, because the higher level courses are all open studios, so we basically make our own projects. Mm-hmm. And then what this asks of us as artists is to, like, basically find ourselves. And then what happens when you try to find yourself and your teacher gives you, like, a C, you know? So it's, like, this weird thing of being, like, oh, am I just not good enough? Or do you just not understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or is that even an applicable question? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's just a really weird space, mm-hmm. but I love it.
I guess, like, on that note, like, conceptually or otherwise, like, how do you guys think that your art has changed since you guys came to UBC? Mm. Or, like, your conceptual idea of art?
Yeah, like, so much.
Yeah, like, like, I am a very different artist than I, like, now than I was when I first entered the program, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, something that, like, UBC has a very conceptually focused visual art program, and that's definitely something that attracted me to it in first year, because it made me realize, like, art is so much more than just, like, drawing something or, mm-hmm. like, painting. I mean, like, if you, that's what you like doing, like, no shade to
yeah.
you.
Please
like,
do.
That's awesome. Keep doing it. So, yeah, I would say, like, my art has completely changed and, like, become more real, like, what before being mm-hmm. in school. I mean, I guess, like, this does speak to, like, one thing the institution does for, like, being an artist is it like, gives you an affirmation of, like, yes, you're in this program, so yes, you can call yourself an artist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that's something I had a lot of troubles with at the beginning, because I felt like there was this idea of an artist in society, and you kind of had to, like, work your way up there. But I remember, like, there was one lecture in particular with Christine, love her.
Christine D'Onofrio.
Yeah, D'Onofrio. She's a professor in the program, and she's great. But she was saying one day, like, the fact that you're all here and you're all sitting in this lecture, you have the right to call yourself an artist now because you're here. Mm-hmm. And that just, like, really stuck with me, I guess. But for how my art has changed since I've been here, I feel like I've realized now that whenever I make a piece, like, everything that was leading up to the piece is also, like, intrinsic to the quote-unquote meaning of the piece. Like, before, I always thought that I just had to, like, try to say something. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever message I may have, it may be a good message, it may be a bad message. But, like, my piece was just trying to convey a message, mm-hmm. more so. And, like, how good it was based off of whether people got what I was trying to say. But, like, being in the program for 3 years now, I've realized that that's just, like, so, like, that is part of the piece, but that's, like, there's so much more to it than that. It's about the discussion that you, like, bring, that your piece brings up. It's about the context that it's in. Mm-hmm. It's about, like, how it, like, reacts with society and the institution, or with, like, race or gender or with anything. It's, like, you have to view your art as an object in this world, more mm-hmm. so. Mm-hmm. Not as, like, an object outside of this world to be worshipped. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just a more general thing that we learn here at UBC.
Mm-hmm. Like, the context is so important, as well as the process. Mm-hmm. And, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, just, like, we are really encouraged to interrogate, like, everything that goes into our art and, like, everything that it could mean to someone, mm-hmm. which can be, like, really tough sometimes, but
yeah
in the end probably a good thing.
Yeah, because, like, even the way that we're marked is based off of critiques. So as visual art students, we literally don't have final exams, and, like, our final season is, like, the last couple weeks of classes, because mm-hmm. that's when all of our final projects are due. Mm-hmm. And just the way that a critique is structured is, I mean, usually, like, obviously some professors do a little bit differently, but for the most part, I would say the person presents their piece, and if there's a title, they'll say the title, but often with more contemporary art, you'll find that there is no title. but if there is one, they'll say it, and then immediately it's open for discussion, and people will say, like, what it makes them think about, or, like, what, like, whatever the piece is doing. Like, we'll just describe it as a class. And that's also really important to, like, the process of the piece itself, the things that people say about it. Mm-hmm. And then...
Yeah, because they might see something that you totally weren't aware of. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, really important to know those things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, like, just because you didn't mean for it to, like, be read a certain way, it's still being read a certain way. And that is important to think about, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess, like, after the discussion mm-hmm. is, like, over during a critique, then... if you want to explain yourself at the end, like, you can. And you can mm-hmm. be like, oh, like, I did this because of this, or this because of this.
Right.
And then there's a question period. And then usually the professor will say, like, one or two things. And then it's on to the next.
Wow.
Like, it's very, like, the class goes first for a reason. Mm-hmm. Because, like, we want to know how this object interacts without the artist being present.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break to play some ads and PSAs, and then we'll come back with a little bit more visual arts talk, a little bit more UBC talk, and a little bit more sound art.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Snoop Dogg! Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca.
All right, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I am here with James and Claire of the Visual Arts Student Association. If you guys have been tuning in, we've been talking a little bit about what it's like to study art at an institution. So now I will pose a question to you guys. Why did you guys choose to study at UBC?
Yeah, I feel like that's a really funny story. A more general thing is that I feel... like, most people in our program did not start in our program. Like, we all were somewhere else first. We're, like, the type of people who were studying, like, either, like, general arts or there was a lot of science students. But for some reason or one reason or another, we all ended up in the visual arts after a while. Mm-hmm. And I guess my story, at least, is that, like, right out of high school, I somehow let my sister convince me that I was meant to be in kinesiology and that I was meant to, like, I don't know, be a physiotherapist. But, yeah, like, I remember just going to all of those lectures and learning about anatomy and physiology mm-hmm. and, like, health science. And I just, like, I hated it. I just knew that it wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I always kind of had, like, art as a side thing in my life. Like, even in high school, I just took it as my electives, you mm-hmm. know? And even in first semester of university, I enrolled in a visual arts course more as an elective.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that, like, that was where my true passion lies. And after a lot of, like, emotional instability, I just realized that I cannot be in kinesiology. and I have to switch to visual arts. So I made the switch. I call it joining the dark side, and I'm very happy about it. But I mean, now I'm having the same problem because I tried to do computer science and that also did not work. I still ended up back in visual arts.
You're stuck here forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess, like, I, like, kind of have a similar story in that, like, I totally didn't expect to major in visual arts when I came to UBC. Mm-hmm. Although I did choose UBC based on, like, the fact that here you can take visual art as a minor with a humanities degree. Mm-hmm. And I thought that I might want a minor in visual art because, like, I don't know, I was interested in it. Mm-hmm. And, like, other places I had applied to, like, just, like, going, like, having a degree that was both humanities and fine arts was just not possible. So mm-hmm. that's why I came to UBC. And then, yeah, I started taking visual arts classes and kept taking them. And at first I was just doing a minor and an English major. And so I'm still doing an English major as well.
Mm. Wow.
But then,
indeed,
I guess in my third year, I was doing, like, my degree was officially visa minor English major, and I was just feeling really unbalanced, and, like, I just couldn't do three English classes at once or, like, three visual arts studio classes at once. It's mm-hmm. just, like, so either, like, so much reading and essay writing or so much thinking of ideas, like, mm-hmm. I just can't think of that many ideas at once. And so, yeah, I decided to do a double major, like, partly to, like, have more balance in my degree because, yeah, and it would allow me to take a bit longer, which, like, seems like something you wouldn't want, but, mm-hmm. like, I was kind of scared to graduate mm-hmm. so soon. So, yeah, that's how I ended up as a visa major. And, like, I guess another reason I decided to major is because I did, like, really see my future at the time, like, being involved in visual arts mm-hmm. and, like, being an artist, mm-hmm. Which I don't know. Who knows about that anymore? But I am, like, really glad that I did it in school. I think it is such a valuable thing to learn. Like, it's such a different way of, like, having, like, going through the education mm-hmm. institution and it's really valuable to, like, know about it.
For sure. Yeah. So I guess, like, on that note, are there, what are some common misconceptions or some common questions you guys get asked about studying visual arts or being a visual arts student at UBC?
Yeah, like, I would say the most common question that I get is, oh, like, what do you do? Like, what is your medium? Like, do you, like, draw? Do you paint? And it's funny because whenever I get asked this question, I don't really know how to answer mm-hmm. because at UBC we're never required to specialize mm-hmm. in a specific medium. Like, drawing, for example, is a class that we take, and painting is a class we take, performance is a class. Like, all of our classes are just various different mediums, I guess. And I mean, others are conceptual, but, like, we basically do everything. Mm-hmm. And instead of centering our practice around a medium, I would say that most people center their practice around, like, reoccurring concepts and, like,
yeah.
Theoretical basis and stuff like that.
Yeah, like, different themes and, like, and sometimes, like, materials.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it can, there's no limitation. But yeah, I always, like, feel such an imposter syndrome when people ask me that question, especially if they're, like, Emily Carr students where they do choose mm-hmm. a medium as their major. Mm-hmm. And, like, I always just get really stressed out because I'm like, I have no idea how to answer that question. Mm-hmm. I'm really bad at drawing. Like, am I not an artist? I don't know. But yeah, I think from family members especially, I get a lot of, like, oh, so, like, can I commission you for, like, a drawing? Or, like, can you mm-hmm. paint my dog? And the answer is really no. I'm kind of bad at that. Yeah. I was saying yesterday, like, I feel like I'm actually worse at drawing than I was at the end of high school. Like, Yeah. I really haven't improved those skills.
Yeah, I relate to that, honestly. I feel like I was a lot better at, like, realism and, like, mm-hmm. trying to draw something for how it looks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now, like, that's just not what I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so true. Like, I feel like in high school, I was really taught, like, the way to be an artist is to draw every day. And, like, that is one thing that completely changed when mm-hmm. I came to school. Not that, like, drawing every day makes you not be an artist. Like,
but
that
it's
is
not
another
the only way
to be
yeah.
an artist. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, when people ask, what are you planning on doing with your degree?
Oh, yeah. People always ask that. And I mean, in a similar way, I never know how to answer it. Mm-hmm. Because I think a way that, I mean, I've chosen to cope with this question is that I've realized that my degree isn't necessarily going to get me a career. But I don't even want to think of it in that way. Mm-hmm. Like, the more I study art, I always say, the less I want to be an artist. like as, like, sad as that is, it's also kind of true. But what I mean is that I just want to be surrounded by art. Mm-hmm. And I want to live my life artistically. And you don't have to be an artist, like a gallery artist or a commercial artist. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to be selling your works to, like, you know, pay for rent mm-hmm. to be an artist. Like, there's a lot of ways to be an artist in this life. And I think out of the degree, the more valuable thing for me anyways is literally the people I meet and, like, the environments that I end up in and, like, the opportunity that everyone gives me. Like, it's more about the social aspect mm-hmm. and this degree is more of, like, a springboard for us to start off of. Like, who knows what's going to be happening to us in the future.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Something James said to me while I was, like, really stressed about the fact that I'm finished classes this term and, like, I don't know what afterwards is going to look like is that, like, the reason that we don't know what our future is going to look like is because it's not going to look like just one thing. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's okay. And that's, like, a good thing because it means that, like, we will have opportunities to do, like, both, like, making our own work and, like, learning new things through, like, being in different jobs. And, like, we don't have to have a job that's related to our degree. Like, mm-hmm. we can. I mean, one big misconception I find is, like, especially with the stereotype of, like, art history majors, like, being art history being, like, the most useless degree is, like, that's just completely untrue. Mm-hmm. There are so many jobs in the art world and, like, in galleries and museums mm-hmm. and, like, there's, like, so much you can do with it. So you can definitely get a job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was talking to some friends over the weekend and saying, like, they were asking, like, what do you want your work, like, your art to look like? Or, like, what do you want being an artist to look like after school? And I was like, honestly, I, like, want to run away from the art world so much. But that's just, like, at this moment because it's scary and, mm-hmm. like, frustrating in terms of its, like, subtle hypocrisies, as we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But that, like, doesn't mean I don't want to make art or don't think my degree was valuable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree with that. I feel like it's really natural for artists to want, or art students to want to run away
mm-hmm.
from the art world after the degree and, like, completely reject institution in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always joke about the fact that I'm gonna, like, move to Thailand to become a monk for a bit. I mean, I probably am, but it's because of this, like, need to get away
mm-hmm.
and, like, clear my head
mm-hmm.
of all the subtle hypocrisy that, like, exists within my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, at the same time, I don't really want to ignore it because mm-hmm. I believe that it's almost like a metaphor for the world in general.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, all I can say about that is, like, mm-hmm. like, art imitates life, and that's just that.
I remember during our first meeting, James literally said to me, like, we're all artists, art is life. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's right. Like, we're literally just surrounded by art. Yeah. We're actually going to get into another piece of sound art. This one's called Lecture Notes by Quentin Chiu. Do you have any words before we play it?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a piece that I personally really love. Mm-hmm. Quentin is a friend of mine, and basically what he did is he recorded a lecture by one of the professors named Gareth James. And he's a great professor. I love him. But he teaches this first year course, and it's kind of infamous for being like very confusing. He starts talking about like all this like art theory that
like the first year baby brain can't handle.
Yeah, but like no, like none of us can handle it. So basically this piece is kind of a reaction to that, and he recorded a lecture, and then he actually made a sound, like a sound piece that functions more like a song out of all the sounds that were in the lecture. So give it a listen.
Awesome.
I think it's really fun.
This is Lecture Notes by Quentin Chiu. We're back. I'm here with Vasa and with James and Claire from Vasa. Do you guys have anything in the near future that you guys want to talk about to let visual arts students and non-visual arts but art enthusiasts to know about?
Yes, we do. So some of these are our events. Some of these are just different events happening in the city that are relevant to people interested in like seeing what the city has to offer art-wise. So this weekend is a huge event called the Eastside Culture Crawl. There's going to be tons of like open studios, mm-hmm. lots of stuff all along like East Hastings. That's November 15th to 16th to 18th. I guess it started yesterday.
Yeah, it started yesterday. It goes this whole weekend.
Yeah, so check it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, the Eastside Culture Crawl is really cool. Like, basically, it's just a bunch of like artist-run centers and like studios all just opening their doors and just being like, hey, come check out like my studio, like my practice, my gallery. There's a lot of stuff. It's all like down near like Hastings and Maine and Commercial in that area, so like the artsy area of Vancouver anyways. And then next Friday, which is November 23rd, there is like an event at the Vancouver Art Gallery called Fuse. And that one's more of just like an art like fair, kind of.
It's like a night of like performance art,
yeah.
and other stuff at yeah. the Vancouver Art Gallery. And this mm-hmm. is especially interesting because one of our profs, Guadalupe Martinez, is performing at it with a bunch of people, including some UBC students.
Yeah, so that's going to be really exciting. And that one's more of like like it's more of like a social, like kind of party event mm-hmm. as well. So that's good.
Yeah. And like it does cost $15 for members, but if you are a visual arts student, then you can get a membership for $5.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a really awesome opportunity that we have.
It's a deal.
Yeah. And then I guess another event that's going to be happening on December 4th, which is open to everyone. All of these events are open to everyone, by the way, mm-hmm. but there is something happening called the MFA Open Studios, and the MFA is like the Master of Fine Arts. So basically all the MFA students are like opening up their studios, and it's happening in the top floor of the Audain Center, which is on campus. It's like right across from Mercante's. Like, I know you all know where it is. But yeah, that's also a really fun night to like see the art that's coming out of like UBC as well. And then I guess more things in the future are that there's two prospective events for next semester, and these are called Emerge events. And Emerge events are like nights that are hosted by the Visual Arts Student Association, in part with the Art History Student Association, as well as the Belkin Gallery on campus. And we just host events to like connect students with the professional art community in Vancouver. And there's going to be one event centered around International Women's Day. And this one is a Wikipedia edit-a-thon. And basically what happens is we find like female artists or just like people of notice or notability in Vancouver, and we make Wikipedia pages about it.
Oh my gosh.
And the awesome thing about that is that you yourself become like a certified Wikipedia editor, and then you can like make your own Wikipedia pages. And then there's another Emerge event that is being planned where we're gonna like have like a gallery slash studio visit with an artist collective that's centered in Vancouver, which is going to be really awesome as well.
Yeah, stay tuned. Stay tuned.
Awesome.
And yeah, one more important thing. Right now, the Visual Arts Student Association has a call for submissions for our show at the Hatch Gallery, which will be happening starting, it opens January 28th. It goes through the start of February. So we're calling for submissions on the theme of byproducts. So secondary unintended things that came about through the production of something else. Yes, submissions are due January 6th. So lots of time to start thinking about that.
Yeah, and if you want like a recap on all of this information, we post about all of this on our social media, mainly Instagram, and you can follow us on Instagram at vasa.ubc, and Vasa is V-A-S-A. So if you want to get involved in any way, like, feel free to DM us as well, and also like us on Facebook with the same handle. Yeah, that's where we'll be posting all of this information as well.
Awesome. We are going to do a quick ad and PSA, but we will be back with a little bit more sound art.
You hear a... God. Oh.
Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance.
Oh. Everybody... God, this is awful.
Isn't there anything...
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Discorder magazine, or check us out online at citr.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance. Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance?
Hey, this is Lady Gaga, and you're listening to CITR FM 101.9. Look out, Vancouver.
All right, we're back. Right now we're going to have Claire introduce her own sound art.
Yes. So I made this piece over the summer when I was at home in Edmonton. I happened to find like a whole pile of notes to cat sitters on my fridge because my family like throws nothing away and they had like notes to the cat sitters like from years back. So I put together a piece just like based on that and using like other sounds that I guess I associate with being in that place. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, you'll hear it. It's just like, yeah, interesting like text to find. And then after that, we are also going to play probably an excerpt of Michelle Jubilee's piece called What is Art? Where she asked a whole bunch of people that question and put together their responses.
Awesome. So just to recap, we were here with James and Claire from the Visual Arts Student Association. I'm Lexis from CITR. This is 24 Hours of Student Power. Stay tuned for SASC coming up next after these sound art pieces.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks.
Dishes are behind the dining room door. Blue for cocoa, red for cocoa. A water dish is by the bathroom. Each day, we feed Cocoa one big, heaping spoonful of wet food, plus a big scoop of dry, moistly, brecky and dinner. Add one pink pill and a vitamin wet food. If you like, you can use this to crush our pill. That seems to be working. Feed Mocha one big, not-so-heaping spoonful, plus a big scoop of dry. Not a full dinner, just give her a bite of wet food. Please also make sure to wash the dishes and every dish by the back door. She doesn't come back to the door by the time you need to leave. I'm hoping you can stay for around 30 to 60 minutes. Or go and come back a few hours later. Thank you so much for helping us. If you have any questions or have an emergency, please call Peter's cell or my cell. We've gone to Vancouver Island and Whistler to see Lily. So don't worry about calling, texting, if you have any questions at all.
I think art is so many things.
Art to me,
I think that art is a lens and an experience.
This isn't a hard question.
A feeling or
to
a
me,
thought.
Art is a safe
it's
space.
It's a label that we put on something.
Reflect,
I know that much.
To feel,
in my
to
mind,
think.
Art is. Is a way to
fail,
explore
and then to
express
get up,
the uncommon beauty in our
common life.
I think art is super diverse. It doesn't have
you know what is
one.
When I think of
what
art,
is art,
shape or form.
I always kind of imagine or remember what my mom used to tell
the
me and my sister.
Kind of really came to mind was that it's,
art.
It's a
is
medium
an expression
or mode
of an
expression,
idea, whether it be.
I think a lot
of
people immediately think of art as a creative visual representation.
Which is a very
or
good question. Great question.
Art is really subjective. But for me, it helps me define my identity and my beliefs and make sense of the world and human interaction.
To connect in a deep way, in a deep, meaningful way to myself
and
to
life.
Others.
So to unpack that, I think
and form.
The saying that anything can be art is true if you're viewing it through
like
a certain lens.
What
collaboratively,
art?
Like of appreciation.
It's kind of whatever
ways.
You want it to be. And whatever the person who's looking at it wants it to be, so it could kind of change
so, like,
its shape.
A sock on the floor, if
and in the end, it's just a form of expression.
Has spent a lot of time like arranging it.
Art
or if, like,
is an individualistic
it's been
approach
blown by the wind
to interpreting the world
in really
around.
Queer
as long as someone wants something to be art, then it can be. So I think human intention plays a big role.
But of course, art encompasses all kinds of expression, like music, dance, writing,
you don't
theater.
Have to be good at it, you don't have to have a degree, but you kind of have to put a little bit of yourself in it, and that's
I think
when
art
you know
is
that
like,
it's really good
when
art.
You wake up in the morning, what is the thing that you have to do, you know, that day? What is it that you have to do that no matter what the forces are telling you, you know, you can't do it because you have these other responsibilities
of, like, appreciation
or because you're not
going
to get a lot of money from it or whatever. What is it, the thing that you just have to do and you have to make? To me, that is maybe not what art is, but it's sort of the start
of
where to look for
so many things, if you think about
what art is.
I mean, gardening, cooking,
I think
carpentry.
It can be anything from something traditional like a painting to the way you decide to tie your shoes one day. And I think it really just depends on the person and on who's viewing it on.
So actually, art is the expression
For example,
of human creativity in any genre.
If the intention of the creator of art was not to make art, but someone sees it as art, then
it could
I suppose
lead to
it becomes art for that
beauty
person.
And expressing beauty or learning. Or reflections, any kind of emotion or story.
I also think that
art is so
the lens
multifaceted.
Of art is very much a human thing and part of the human experience,
etc., etc.
Art is a way of passing emotions and feelings from one person to another.
It's really 1 + 1 = infinity.
But I guess from like the creative standpoint, if there's an intention to express oneself.
So it's very broad.
Then
it
I
can
guess
be
that's
anything
art.
That I see.
And that said, I find myself appreciating the beauty of a sunset or a thundercloud.
I sometimes think I'm an artist, which is another.